flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
So, full transparency. Pretty much, I don't know, before every Aztecs game, usually you get a text from Paulie asking my opinion on how I think the Aztecs are going to fare in relation to whatever point spread has been established for that evening's game. I have no idea what you're doing with that information, Paulie. Maybe you're just curious.
He's not gambling illegally, I'll tell you that.
I don't know if he is or not, but he likes to get my thoughts on it. And on Saturday, when the Aztecs were actually, 2.5-point underdogs on the road against the Nevada Wolfpack, I think my take was, don't bet on Nevada. I'm never going to roll with Steve Alford. You know me. They're not that great of a team, but it's also hard to have a ton of faith in the Aztecs on the road at altitude right now. But at some point, what did I say, Paul? At some point, Brian Dutcher is going to figure this out. He always does. Will it happen tonight? I don't know. Might? Well,
I think I said, until they play a little more consistently, I kind of just want to stay away.
Well, it certainly looked like they fixed a number of their issues on Saturday night in Reno as the Aztecs came through not just with a win, but dominant. A 19-point dominant win.
What was the spread, 10?
They were 2.5-point underdogs.
Oh, 2.5 dogs.
They were 2.5 dogs.
Oh, it was 10 the game before.
And they won by 19. Yeah, the Air Force game, they were supposed to win by 19. They only won on the last second buzzer beater by Wayne McKinney. This game, they were actually supposed to lose. And they won easily, 69-50. And it wasn't like the stars were being stars, especially in the first half. Miles Byrd couldn't hit a shot. Nick Boyd couldn't do anything.
It's been a little cold lately.
Both of those guys have been struggling scoring. Bird, though, contributed in other ways. A career-high 9 assists. Got Magoon Gwath into the game. Gwath had one of, if not his best game far as an Aztec. 15-point, 13 rebounds, second career double-double, went 7-for-7 from the field, and was a defensive presence inside. And he talked about after the game, and this is a freshman thing. How hard it is to, stay locked in for the entire time you're out there. Like, you can't take a possession off offensively or defensively. And he felt like, I finally had a game where every single time I felt like I was locked in, I was concentrating. You go, you should always be concentrating. It's not that easy when you're, 19 years old, something like that. And you're playing on the Division I level for the first time. In high school, you don't have to concentrate that much. You're so physically dominant over the other players.
Exactly
just throw it up to me, I'll lob it in. in college basketball, you have to be locked in every second, and that's a bit of a learning process. But he had that huge game. I think Nevada didn't have a great game either. I mean, they had some open shots that they missed. They're not a great shooting team, and the combination turned into an easy win for the Aztecs. And boy, did they need that, because after the loss to the win over Air Force,
that felt like a loss.
That felt like a loss. They had dropped really onto the bubble, onto Joe Lunardi's bubble, Jerry Palm's bubble, Andy Katz. Everyone who does a bracket pretty much had the Aztecs as one of the last four teams in. I mean, in, but still directly on the bubble. And this win, because it was, you know, on the road and that technically an upset by a lot of points, moved them up, I think, from 47 to 41 in the net, from 46 to 37 in the KenPom. A little bit off the bubble, just a hint maybe of breathing room for San Diego State. It's not like they can take a bad loss still going forward, but you can at least exhale for a second, San Diego State fans, based on the performance that we saw on Saturday night in Reno.
Next opponent is?
Tomorrow, San Jose State. Now, this week, two home games, and they're both just landmines. There's no upside to either of these games. San Jose State, I think, is ninth in the Mountain West, and Wyoming, who's coming in on Saturday, 10th. In the Mountain West. They're 172nd and 181st in the net rankings. A loss on either of those games is brutal. Even a close win is going to hurt you. So there's really not much good that can happen this week. You just got to take care of business in both games and then move on to the rest of your schedule. But, you know, if they do take care of business and can win these two games, as they should, they'll be heavily favored in both of them. You get up to 8-3 in the conference, you'll be more than halfway through, and you'll be no more probably than, you know, a game or two out of first place with a chance to still face New Mexico and Utah State again in the second half of the season. You still have everything in front of you if you're the Aztecs. You haven't lost anything
your
yet.
Your destiny is in your hands.
It is. Yeah, it's a good point. And there were some other good results this weekend as well. Did you see at all the highlights of the Houston-Kansas game?
No.
What a crazy one that was. So, remember, the Houston Cougars, that's the Aztecs' best win. They have not lost since they lost to San Diego State in Las Vegas. They have won every game since, and they were about to lose to Kansas. They were down, I think, late in regulation and scrambled to force overtime. They were down 6 with like 10 seconds to go in overtime. Hit a 3, got a steal, hit another 3 to force double overtime, and then went on to win at Fog Allen Fieldhouse on the road in Kansas, 92-86 in double overtime for their 12th straight win since that loss to SDSU. Houston's like number 3 in the net.
Wow.
The number 7 probably moving up in the rankings in the AP. That's a win that's going to carry a lot of juice in the committee room. You know, if the Aztecs need an at-large bid, that's one that they have.
Beat
that
Houston.
Is just getting better and better and better as the year goes on. So if you want to, if you're an Aztecs fan, keep cheering for Houston to do well. Cheer for Creighton to do well. I think they only have 3 losses overall. One of them's to San Diego State. So those are
some great teams.
Those are the two premier non-conference wins that really puff up the Aztecs' resume when it comes to be tournament time. Something that maybe some of the other teams on the bubble won't have. That's the good news for San Diego State.
We have tickets to give away.
We do. Yeah, why don't we do that right now? We got a pair of tickets for tomorrow night's game, Aztecs against the San Jose State Spartans. You can get your own tickets at GoAztecs.com. But if you want to be inside Viejas Arena tomorrow night, you can win them right now. We'll give it to the fourth caller at 833-288-0973, 833-298-0973.
Try that number again.
What? 833-288-0973.
Did he biff it?
Yeah, I think I said 298. 833-288-0973. 0973. A chance to win the tickets for tomorrow night's game, which I believe is one of those 8 p.m. starts on a Tuesday night at Viejas Arena. I know, Aztecs fans, it's not that bad getting out of the parking lot. Just have a little coffee. You'll be fine. You'll make it to the end of the game.
Yesterday, when I was doing a little work on today's show, and I saw that we had tickets to give away, and I was like, what time is that game at on Tuesday? My computer was still set to Mountain Standard Time, so it said 9 p.m. tip-off. I go, no chance.
That's it for me.
Nope.
Yeah. 8's pushing it for me. I mean, it is pushing it. I'll put it on and I'll fall asleep to it. But, it's too late. Too late. I'm cash. How's your body feeling, Paulie, after fantasy camp?
Okay.
My lower half is wrecked.
Lower half?
Yeah. My knees.
What are you start the lower half at your
my waist?
Hips?
Yeah,
waist.
My waist.
Waist and down.
Everything up here? Good. Arm feels good. Back feels
Quads,
good.
Quads, hammies.
It's my glutes. My right. Did you see my how thrashed
my goodness my gracious. Right knee we know is. You slide right in on your right knee there, don't you?
Yeah, and then I dove for a ball and I just got.
Get a little higher or take off the graphic because we can't see.
There it is.
So you stretch it out. There you go.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. You are.
I got banged up.
Those are some strawberries.
Yeah,
right there.
And I've got the back of my knee is. I just hope there's nothing structural in there. That's what I'm hoping for. But
there were a couple of major injuries at fantasy camp, right?
Yeah, we had two ACLs go. I think
We had an Achilles and an ACL. I think it was.
Is it the same thing? No.
No. They're totally
the
different.
The anterior cruciate ligament and then the Achilles.
Achilles is in the ankle.
Is in the ankle.
Yeah. Achilles heel.
One guy.
ACL's in the knee.
One guy, I saw him when he walked in. I looked at him and I said, he's going to get hurt. You just can see it, you know, in their face. And he did. He I think he's the one that tore his ACL. And no good, man. They're hobbling around on crutches and stuff the rest of the week. So you really got to try to take care of yourself.
Sucks,
it sucks.
Nobody waits all year
for that.
Pays that amount of money.
I know.
Flies out to Arizona only to get hurt on day one.
Day one or
day
two. Yeah. Toast, man. Ugh. I'll never forget John Howard. John Howard from
That's
Channel
right.
8.
That's right. My the counterpart guy, at
your
CBS.
Counterpart.
Yep.
The first swing he took in, but we haven't even played a game. He took a swing in practice.
Evaluation. Workouts.
First swing he took, ripped his knee in half.
And you and Tom Seiler, you all wonder why I don't do this. I don't want to be the next John Howard. That's not my goal. I don't
save that clip for some reason. Just save it. We might need it
in
sometime.
In that context.
I don't want to be the next John Howard. John Howard, you could do a lot worse than John Howard, Ben.
I don't want to be the guy who on the first swing, one step out of the box, is reaching for an injury that's going to set, you know, put me on the shelf for months.
The funny thing, we could do 90 days of content of you getting your body ready for fantasy camp. We would have a killer time doing that. Don't you think? I think, and for you, it's tough because, I played baseball in the offseason. I play baseball.
Yeah.
If you got hurt and couldn't play golf, that would be devastating. I would feel like
I couldn't Peloton.
Couldn't Peloton.
I'm in a good spot right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to risk
That's the thing.
The good spot
That's
that I've gotten thing. Myself to.
Yeah, you don't love it that much. You know, you don't like, for me, it's worth the risk.
Is there a thought how cool it would be to step into the box?
Yeah.
And, hit a line drive, make solid contact, maybe get on the mound again. I used to be a pitcher long
ago.
Be the next John Howard. Sure.
Sorry, John.
Sure, I let myself think about it at least and how, cool it would be. But I always immediately go to, I'm going to get hurt.
Yeah.
And just how devastating it would be if I got hurt and what it would cost me. Because, I've worked really hard. Over the past few months to get to where I am. And by the way, I got to thank SDFatLoss.com. They got me really started. I had Pelotoned a little bit before I started the SDFatLoss.com program. But once I lost the 40 pounds in 60 days, I was able to get on the bike every single day. It feeds. You get healthy, you lose the weight, you feel better about yourself. Then you can exercise a little bit more. It's just a complete life changer. It was for me, can be for you as well. I lost the weight quickly. Scraby did, Elo did, so many tier ones. I mean, they've lost hundreds and hundreds of pounds on the SDFatLoss.com program. And right now, if you sign up at SDFatLoss.com, get your free consultation. You can get $200 off through January 31st. It's the new you in the new year special. Find out how it works. It's based on just real food, stuff from the grocery store. I made some meals for myself last night, chicken, vegetables. I like it. I've been able to eat it. I've been able to stick with it. That's why I've been able to keep the weight off. You can find out how it can work for you as well. No injections or drugs or hormones. It's easy to follow. It's just all about when to eat, portion sizes. You can do it. I did it, and I never thought I'd be able to keep the weight off. I finally have. Make the call or just go online. Very simple. SDFatLoss.com and get that free consultation. Meet with a counselor. You can lose up to 10 to 20% of your body weight in 60 days. That's up to a pound of fat per day at SDFatLoss.com. We'll come back with Don't Do This. Former major leaguer getting dragged over a tweet he sent that involved the Kansas City Chiefs and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Talk about that coming up after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This is brought to you by Trust and Will. Don't leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die. Do set up a Trust and Will online at trustandwill.com. It's a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. All right, I know this is a touchy topic because I got a lot of pushback last night on Twitter. I am not a Chiefs hater. I don't have Chiefs fatigue. I know a lot of you out there...
Yeah.
Have Chiefs fatigue. I don't. I still enjoy watching the Chiefs play in the postseason.
Pretty fun team to watch.
I think they're entertaining games, and I have no... Now, I'm not rooting for them. I'm not a Chiefs fan. Had they lost, would have been really happy for the Bills, would have been excited for a Bills-Eagles Super Bowl. But I'm not one of these people that is, like, angry when the Chiefs keep winning.
That's Dodger loving then, huh?
Or think there's a... That's what I got. I got a lot of that. I got a lot of that. And that brings us to our first DDT story today.
Listen, as much as I like to rag on you, there's zero correlation between the Dodgers and the Chiefs. None whatsoever. And Nepo brother himself, Ben Verlander, came out last night and tweeted, "People will really complain about the Dodgers signing everyone and cry for a salary cap while watching the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl every year with a salary cap. What is your point?" Like, Dodger fans getting in there and making the Chiefs' run of dominance about them makes no sense to me. Like, hey, could the Los Angeles Dodgers have a brilliant, brilliant run in Major League Baseball with a salary cap? The answer is undoubtedly yes.
Yes.
There is no question. They draft well. They develop pretty well. They know how to manipulate. They know how to manipulate loopholes. They're a very, very well-run, smart organization. I have zero doubt, Ben, that if their constraints were given and everyone was zeroed out, that the Los Angeles Dodgers would still be in the mix for the playoffs every single year because of Gomes, because of Friedman, because of their facilities, because of the way that they do business. Zero doubt.
Of course.
But that's not the case right now. This is the extent. I mean, somebody made the point. Does anyone think Patrick Mahomes would still be playing in Kansas City if there was a free market? No, he would be the quarterback.
That is a great point.
He would be the quarterback of the New York Football Giants or the New York Football Jets or the Los Angeles Rams.
The
Dallas Cowboys. I mean, what are we talking about here? If it was a free market economy, you're not going to see the Buffalo Bills.
If they had to rely on local TV revenues, there wouldn't even be a Green Bay Packers.
Correct.
I mean, there's just no way.
They'd be making
$7 a year in revenue off television in a tiny little town like Green Bay.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, the Rams and the Jets and the Cowboys would be making, you know, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. But that's not how the NFL works.
Yeah,
they share all the national revenue. They have a salary cap. Every team starts pretty much on an even playing field.
The correlation is just non-existent, and there's no reason to make one sport with a completely different set of rules make a comparison between the Los Angeles Dodgers.
And there's nothing inherently bad about a dynasty or a dominant team. What my contention has been is that the Dodgers are sucking the hope out of the rest of the league. I don't think the Chiefs do that. Yeah,
I disagree.
You don't think so?
Everybody in the AFC is playing for the number two seed.
Are you
right
kidding?
Now.
They look beatable in every single game they play. I mean, I just Just someone finish it off and win the game at the end.
But they didn't lose.
They didn't, but it's not like, oh, here comes another 45-7 Chiefs win.
They've been to seven straight AFC championships and three straight Super Bowls.
I mean,
what are you talking about?
More power to them. But
they own the AFC.
They've also played, what is it, 17 one-score games
yeah,
in a row?
17, they've won 17. Yeah.
Who cares? They've won them.
Yeah, they win. They know how to win. But it has nothing to do with their payroll, right?
Not at all.
It has nothing to do with their payroll. It has to do with their coaching.
And it's only getting harder for them every year because they keep losing players because they can't keep everybody because of the salary cap.
Yep.
They were more talented 2 years ago. They were less talented when they won it last year. And I think they're even less talented this year. I think the Eagles have a much better roster.
He really is high on the Eagles.
I think the Eagles...
He thinks they're going to blow them out
in the Super Bowl. I think it's going to be a fairly convincing win for the Eagles.
Crazy.
Maybe 10 to 20 points. That's my early take.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. Now, if it's a close game in the end, yeah, Chiefs will probably pull it out. I just think the Eagles have too much.
Okay.
Too much on defense, too much Saquon Barkley. And if Jalen Hurts has two more weeks to get even healthier, look, decent.
Yep.
You know, yesterday... I like the Eagles in Super Bowl 59,
okay.
But I don't like Ben Verlander's take.
I didn't like it either.
All right, let's go to, speaking of the Eagles, Eagles fans, a car hit and injured three pedestrians in a crowd of people leaving the Eagles playoff game last night, according to police. The driver is in custody. At least the collision did not appear to be intentional, but you always hate to see, you know, big crowds coming out of the game, people celebrating, and anything like that happens. Just seems like anytime there's a celebration, something seems to go wrong. I mean, no one climbing up the light poles yet, at least.
Oh
did you see that?
Oh.
They were already
Did you not see it?
No, I did not see it.
Oh!
Did it not grease them up so people
Broad
couldn't climb
Street.
To the top? Oh, they were
Broad
doing it again.
Broad Street was insane. There's people hanging from poles. I mean, it was a mess down there.
Are we sure we're still going? We're going to go to Philly?
I think so.
I don't
think.
Plan.
I think the tickets I got are non-refundable. So I think we do. I think we are locked into that trip in July.
I'm excited, but also a little nervous.
I am as well. It was nuts down there. I will say this though. I do get envious. I get envious of sports towns like that.
Oh yeah.
I'm envious. And you felt it here last year with the Padres. Yeah, there was a lot of that going around. It was bananas down at Petco. This year, I don't know how it's going to be. Might be a little more room to move around, but I just don't know. We haven't seen the final product yet.
Is that what we really crave? I mean,
we all
want a championship.
Yeah.
But isn't it just that sense of community? Excitement,
yes.
Everybody together.
Yeah. We've had glimpses and
we've had it without winning the championship,
yeah.
But that's really what we want.
That's what we want.
We want that every October. You know, if you're a football fan, you want it every January.
Yeah.
Everybody comes together pulling for their team in celebration and, you know, probably eventually commiseration.
And it's funny because, you know, Zach says in the chat, I think they actually forgot to grease the poles because I saw people, you can't climb to the top of these poles if they're greased.
Right.
And there were dudes hanging from it. It makes me very anxious to watch. You think about if it's my kid out there climbing the poles, like nothing good can come. You'll get 30 seconds of clout. You also break your neck. You know, like just be careful out there. But no, Benny. Broad Street was bananas last night. Bananas. And, I mean, what's the productivity in Philly this morning? Zero. I mean, zero. It was crazy, and it's awesome. You know, we all want to be a part of that someday.
Do we have a do this?
I do not.
Just go for
I saw nothing in the positive in the world of sport.
Well,
the American that won,
Madison Keys.
Madison Keys.
Yes.
I watched a Grand Slam title. I watched a good piece of that on Saturday morning with the kids. I really, really enjoyed it.
And you watched the replay of it Saturday.
Oh, did I?
it was over by the time you woke up on Saturday morning. But yeah, 19th seeded Madison Keys upsets number one, Arena Sabalenka in the Australian Open final to win her first Grand Slam title at the age of 29, which in tennis terms is actually
a little old,
a little on the older side to win your first Grand Slam. On the men's side, Jannik Sinner of Italy won his third Grand Slam title at the age of 23, successfully defending his men's singles title in Melbourne with a win over number two seed Alexander Zverev in straight sets early yesterday morning.
Sabalenka is she's very, very vocal when she plays.
She smashes her record.
Ah! 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 my kids got the biggest kick out of it of all time. They're
remember
like, what is
Monica
she doing?
Seles, yeah. The grunter. Every time she swung. That was like a major sports controversy.
It was
the
huge in the early 90s, yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Like, Monica Seles, does she make too much noise
yes.
when she's playing tennis?
Sabalenka took that and ran with it. Would you be a grunter? You're a flincher. Would you be a grunter playing tennis?
I don't think so.
I think I was just
pretty quiet.
But you grunt a lot anyway.
Do I grunt when I swing on the golf club? I think I'm fairly quiet.
I think you're quiet.
I look like I might be grunting.
Yeah.
It's definitely a...
It looks painful.
Kind of
it looks
a pain.
Like, oh, he's so tight. But she was getting after it. She was getting after it, to be sure.
And that's a don't and a good. Do this, Woods, for a Monday.
Thank you very much.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Had a couple of people out at Fantasy Camp ask me about QC Kinetics, and they always pull me to the side, and they go, hey, man, you can tell me the real deal. Does this really work? And I go, yeah, it absolutely does. And I actually had a guy, Carl, over the week, was getting treatment. I think he said on his elbow at QC Kinetics. He said, first treatment, I feel great. I'm going in for my second treatment today. Yes, QC Kinetics absolutely works. If you're saddled with joint pain, like a lot of us are, in your knees, your hips, your back, your shoulder, they did work on my wrists. They did a lot of work on my wrists. My wrists are pain-free. Make the decision this year to go into 2025 and start getting back to doing the things that you love to do. If it's the bike, if it's playing golf, if it's surfing, hiking, there's so much to do in San Diego. To live here and not be able to do it is a bit of the torture chamber. So get moving again in 25 with help from QC Kinetics. We're talking about joint preservation, regenerative medicine, advanced orthobiologic treatments at QC Kinetics, natural solutions like PRP, which attacks the pain from arthritis, strengthening your joints, lubricating your joints, as it were. Tens of thousands of people with pain have discovered these cellular treatments. I'm one of them. We are all living our life again without that constant pain. So if you want to learn more about how you can refresh your joints and get lasting relief with these incredible treatments, call QC Kinetics for a free consultation today. Deal with joint pain now. You can make the most of the new year. 619-614-PAIN. 619-614-PAIN. Once again, it's QC Kinetics at 619-614-PAIN. Let them know Woodsy sent you.
Got another contest to tell you about. Welcome back. It's Ben Woods at 97.3 The Fan. All you have to do is download the Odyssey app and listen to 97.3 The Fan on the app for your chance at the ultimate trip in the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. All you have to do, download the Odyssey app, log in, listen to this station for at least 1 hour to earn your daily entry into this national contest. The grand prize is travel and accommodations for a winner and three guests to Las Vegas, plus $5,000 for each person. Now that's $20,000 total to fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the college basketball championship tournament. So again, just listen on the app for an hour and you are entered into our national contest. That's a pretty good deal coming up. Welcome back. It's Ben and Woods. We will get into more of the NFL action in a minute. However, as I've noticed, a lot of people in the chat have noticed, and we're trying to catch up during our breaks, some, I don't know, news, but certainly some interesting stuff dropping on the Union Tribune. Kevin Acey writing this morning about the lawsuit that's going on with Padres and ownership, including a conversation, an email thread with Sheil Seidler, trying to get some answers to questions that still linger about her lawsuit against the Seidler brothers that is currently in a Texas courtroom. And I don't know. I'm just, you know, scanning this as fast as I can, Woods, to try to glean anything that I can. I don't think there's any definitive answers here. I kind of still feel like in that same no man's land of this is something that's going to have to play out in a courtroom, over however many months or however long this takes.
Yeah, no question. I think what it did, as I'm trying to, again, be on the air and read the article at the same time, it muddies the waters a little bit again. This part is the part that there's two. Just so you know, if you're a subscriber to the UT, there's two. There's kind of a question and answer with Sheil, where she responded through email. And then there's a Kevin Acey article that just dropped that's very long and very detailed.
It's kind of like a summary of
a summary-ish.
And some thoughts.
This is interesting to me. One person who was close to Peter Seidler, through work they did together having to do with the Padres, said there was no doubt he intended for his children to one day run the team. Another person who was close to Seidler due to their work outside baseball independently used the same phrase, no doubt, when asked if Seidler wanted his children to take over the team at some point. So that is like the first definitive answer that we've gotten from Peter Seidler, I guess.
Right.
There is no question I want my kids to run this team one day. But he often spoke about the love his oldest daughter in particular had for the Padres.
But also in the same article, they said there really was no indication that he was going to have Sheil run the team until they were ready. That it was, you know, the kids were eventually going to take the team. And we heard Peter say many times he wanted the team to remain in his family for decades.
Now, family,
we all heard that.
Family is in his case, it's a broad term, right?
And it makes sense. But Kevin Acey said he spoke to people who are not affiliated with the Seidler brothers at all. Other people around the Padres ownership who were there for all the meetings. And they said there was really no indication that Peter wanted Sheil to run the team. Now, yeah, maybe the kids at some point, but not necessarily Sheil in the interim.
Okay, yeah.
Does that mean the opposite then is automatically true, that he did want his brothers to run it?
Not necessarily.
Right.
No.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, you can't just take the full leap. But
you want to talk about, again, making a convoluted issue even more convoluted as this comes out today. Again, I'm trying to get through this right now.
Bill in the chat asked a very salient question. How old are his kids? Very young.
They're young.
Like 11, 8, and 5 or something like that. I'm kind of estimating, but they're around that age, far from being able to run a Major League Baseball team, like decades away probably from being able to run a Major League Baseball team.
You turn 18 and congratulations, you're in charge.
Right. Yeah, and I assume, like most of us, Peter Seidler imagined, even with his health problems, that he had many years to live and get his children ready for it. And, it was not...
As Sheil herself said, this was an unexpected... it was unexpected at the time. And, I did think this weekend. Here's one thing I can say with 100% accuracy, knowing Peter Seidler. He would hate this.
Oh, yeah.
He would hate all of this. So take that for whatever it's worth. He would absolutely loathe this, what's going on right now.
Does that mean, though, that one side should just back down from the other?
I don't know.
That's the thing. It's like, yes, of course he would hate this. You just wish that there could be like an amicable way to just move on from all of this.
Well, and I think the thing that scares me and probably a lot of Padre fans out there as well is it doesn't seem like either side is going to back down or acquiesce. How long does something like this go on? Because, in a perfect world, the amicability of it all right, this has gotten out of control. Let's do this. Let's come to some sort of an agreement, settlement, if you will, and let's move forward. I think there's been a lot of hurt feelings. I think there's been a lot of potential disrespect. And I do feel like at this point, settling it amicably, it feels like a pipe dream. But are we talking 5 years? Are we talking 10 years? Are we talking 12 years? I mean, really, if they're going to have to name a control person soon, so that the Padres' business can go on. Now, the rumor is that it will be John Seidler,
correct? And Peter's oldest brother.
That he is going.
Who is owns a partial owner of the team, has a small share in ownership in the team.
So if and when that happens, somebody needs to hear from him. And that's the thing is all the brothers declined comment for this. No one wanted to talk about this article today. Again, we're just left in the dark again. And it's tough to speculate.
So that's the thing though. It's probably inappropriate for them to say anything at this juncture because he's not the control person yet.
Yes.
He's just a contender at the moment, hoping for Major League Baseball approval in the middle of a lawsuit. Probably shouldn't be saying anything until things are a little more settled. But what happens if things aren't settled for months and months?
Who's going to control if you can take out all of the salacious lawsuit stuff and you just want to get down to business, right? The business of the San Diego Padres in the year 2025. After, again, you've sold out all the season tickets, people are ready for baseball. I'm AJ Preller. I've got a trade. I need it rubber stamped. Who's stamping it? Who is stamping that thing? It's Eric Kinsella probably today, Monday. When is that going to change? Is it going to change? Should it change? Should it be Sheil? Should it be John? That's the thing. And nobody knows. And so it leaves all of us kind of clawing and scratching for answers at this point. And it's not a fun place to be. I'll tell you, it's not fun. If you're talking about the business of the San Diego Padres on the field in 2025, yeah, it's pretty obvious why players are saying on their way out of town, things are screwed up there right now. How do we get some clarity? How do we get some direction on where this team is going to go and how they're going to get there? You know, and it's funny. I've heard a lot of rumors. I've seen a lot of speculation. I knew Peter. I know Tom. That's it. I've never met, heard from, talked to. Didn't even know they existed. Anybody else in that organization, as far as the brothers go, never saw them. Never saw them mentioned, never met them, never heard word one from them, right? I know Tom Seidler, spent the week with him at Fantasy Camp, and I knew Peter. And I know Sheil. And that's it. That's the only people that I've ever heard from or talked to. So my perspective is such that until somebody is named that is going to start calling the shots, I look forward to talking to that person. Whenever that person, whoever it is, that's who I want to talk to, and I want to ask them. You know, hey, where do you see this going? You know, is it possible, Ben, to name a control person while also being in the midst of litigation? I have no earthly idea.
Yeah, these are things that very high level of Major League Baseball that you know, we can't even really speculate on. I have no idea. You know, Rob Manfred's going to have to get involved in some of this at some point. And, you know, I would imagine that it's in the interests of baseball that the Padres business continues somehow.
I would say so.
There's no indication, by the way, that this wasn't always going to happen this offseason as well. That there's no some magic, you know, unkeyed unlock, and then all of a sudden AJ can add $50 million in payroll and make 15
right,
trades. No matter who's the owner, that was ever going to happen. It was always going to be a, hey, we got to be pretty careful this offseason sort of plan for the San Diego Padres. So I'm not overly surprised with the way things have gone. I'm surprised that there really hasn't been any moves. I thought there'd be a little more activity from that, just knowing AJ's history.
Well, and look, play it through. If you're one of the brothers, right, if you're one of the brothers or you're John or whatever, I mean, I think I would be. I'd be in there beating my fist against the table saying, guys, we need to do something. We need to do something. If only to sway public perception a little bit. Like, we need to make sure that we are committed to. And I hate thinking. That's like thinking like a politician. We need to make a move for public perception. What I want to hear from someone is, everybody was very clear on what Peter's vision was, and that was to win a World Series. And it wasn't lip service when Peter said it. I didn't feel like it was. Did you guys?
Nope.
So what I think people would want to hear, whether it's from Sheil or Eric or John or Bob or Tom or any of the other brothers, is we are committed to this. We really, really mean it, and here's how committed we are.
Yeah, they've said they want to do it, but, you know, obviously, you know, it you want to see the roster improving. Now, can they do that, you know, and still maintain?
Well, and so,
you know, what Major League Baseball, remember, there's the component of Major League Baseball is also forcing some fiscal responsibility on the Padres.
Correct.
You know, they're out of compliance with debt service. These were all things that happened before Peter's passing.
Yeah, I mean, and people are bringing it up in the chat. Is it any coincidence that the first time we've gone to arbitration with a player under AJ Preller's tenure is this year? That's not a coincidence, right? Those are the kind of things that make the fan base untrusting.
Then again, we heard what Michael King said about that.
Yeah.
He said, "Yeah, I kind of get it because there's no comps to my situation of being a reliever to a starter and what that raise is supposed to be."
But in that little window where because other guys said the same thing and were millions or hundreds of thousands of dollars apart on other team and they got it worked out. We're going to this ARB hearing. Michael King is going to go to an ARB hearing, and AJ Preller doesn't want to, but he's now got to go. So yeah, when the fan base they're not dumb, man. You start seeing things like that, and you go, Now, well, obviously these guys are going to cheap out.
Yeah, but keep
out.
In mind, they also agreed on ARB with a lot of high-priced ARB players.
They did. Yeah,
I mean, they had more ARB guys than just about any team
they really
in baseball.
Did.
And they got all of them done but one.
But one.
And perhaps AJ thinks that his offer of 7.3 was pretty darn generous.
Fair.
And Michael King just thinks, I think we can do way better. And it's like, AJ's going, no, I think we're on the high end already with 7.3. You can't really even read into that necessarily as a sign of anything.
Well, I mean, but again, is it a coincidence that the first ARB hearing comes in the midst of all of
this garbage? It
might
be. It honestly might be a coincidence.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
If they had gone to 5 ARB hearings, I would say, oh, yeah, absolutely. There's something going on here. But
I mean, that's your take.
The fact that they got Cease done and Arise done and...
Well, those are two of their major trade chips in Cease and Arise. Like, if you're gonna trade those guys, you got to get that ARB
But that also, I mean, if you can win those and lower the salary, that makes them even more tradable. That
attractive.
Would almost be a reason. Might as well go to ARB. We're trading you anyway. There's no reason why we shouldn't. Fight you. We can't even ruin our relationship because we're about to trade you.
Yeah.
That would be a reason to go to ARB because you were thinking of trading those guys, not to sign them, you know, and both guys got a little more than, you know, kind of right around what they were expected.
It's going to be a tough one to explain, I think, trading either one of those guys or both of those guys.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be tough.
Send it a lot.
Well, it depends on what they get back.
Trade.
I mean,
and there's just no vision right now. That fans have no vision. I don't know that we know what the vision is. I don't know that you can continue to say it's to bring a World Series. I mean, yeah, I think even Bob Nutting would say, you know, what we're trying to do is win a World Series. But I don't want to get to the point where my franchise, the franchise that I root for and support, gets to that point where it's just lip service. And like I said, when Peter said it, I believed it. Straight up. You could not convince me otherwise. They have the sign in Peoria hanging over the locker room. One day soon, the gods will smile upon San Diego. We put it in our Christmas card this year. I believe it. I bought it hook, line, and sinker when he said it. You know, I don't know that I necessarily believe it right now today on January 27th. I don't. You got to show us something. You know, you can say it all you want, Ben. Ben, I want to. Right? I want to look like The Rock. Am I going to put in the work to get there? No, I'm not going to. But I can say it all I want. And it's just not going to happen. So this is a very, very convoluted and muddy conversation. And it's not fun. It's not fun for the fans. It's not what you want in the offseason to try to get fired up for the regular season. All right. Last 7 years. Is this the offseason you've loathed the most? Yeah, I was bummed when they traded Juan Soto, but I understood why they had to do it, and I really liked what they got back, so I got over that in a day. This one, this has been 27 days of misery since the year started. Truly. I'm not fired up for the baseball season right now. I'm not. Right, I want to be.
Let's take a quick check of traffic. We can continue this discussion. Obviously, it's a hot button right now among Padres fans. Check traffic. More on the other side here on 97.3 The Fan.
I do think, too, like, I think I sold myself a couple weeks ago when the Michael King stuff came out. I went, oh, well, this is no big deal. They're just going to work on a long-term extension, right, for Michael King. Right? That's maybe that's what they're going to do. They're going to end up coming out and saying, hey, we've actually agreed to a 4-year deal worth blah, 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 which would be, by the way, incredible. You want to get me fired up for baseball season again? Even though he's not a new player,
That's the thing. That wouldn't change.
Right. He's not a new player.
It wouldn't change the roster at all.
He can't play left field, but I then know going into it, all right, I got this guy for the next 4 years, and he's a stud. He is a stud. So I love him. And not only is he a stud, he's a great dude with a great family, with a great perspective, and he's a hard worker. Like, that gives me a legit 1-2 guy for the next 4 years. I can get excited about that.
We were talking about it earlier. Does it change the strategy at all based on what the Dodgers are doing?
Man.
Does your strategy change? Knowing the Dodgers are just piling players and money and putting together a team that everyone thinks is going to win 110 to 120 games.
Yeah.
There's no realistic way the Padres can go from 93 wins to 115 wins and compete with the Dodgers.
No.
No matter what they did.
There weren't enough free agents on the market,
honestly,
to get to that.
So
I'll give you that.
What does your strategy become? Is it simply you know, try to sneak in the playoffs and then not hope for, you know.
Try, like, my strategy, I think, is because I think there's this natural inclination. I see it with my 7-year-old. When they go out and they play a team in any sport and they look across the field, Ben, and they go, oh, no, that's a team full of second graders. They're done. They're domed out. They're like, why are we even going to play this game? These guys are all second graders, right? And there's a disparity between a first grader and a second grader. There really is. It's crazy. And you parents out there, you know it. If your kids play sports, you're like, those guys are men. They have mustaches. My little first grader could never. And they get domed out about it. So I see the natural reaction is to say, well, might as well just punt because of what the Dodgers are doing. But baseball's not wired that way. So I think your strategy has to be, you better compete your ass off in the AL West, and you better find a way into the playoffs with the payroll that you have, the season tickets being sold out, the fever pitch that was here for Padres baseball. You got to make the playoffs. Mike Schilt, you got to play. It's playoffs or bust for the San Diego Padres. And then let's let the chips fall where they may.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
But that won't be determined until, you know, this summer, and how the Padres are actually playing on the field.
And the tough part, though, is, I think, for fans, and you hear these rumors going around, yeah, you trade Dylan Cease to the Braves, how do you make up 180 innings? You know, how do you do that with what you have currently? So, you know, it was weird. Eddie Van Halen just showed up. Rest in peace. And just started shredding in my ear. How do you make that up? I don't know.
All right, we'll take a timeout, come back, second half of Ben and Woods on the way. We've got more giveaways.
Some calls, man. You guys can call in.
833-288-0973. We've got Take on Woods coming up as well, all on our 8 o'clock hour. Some more football talks. Stick around. Ben and Woods continuing on 97.3 The Fan.